And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, and solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, y'all. We're going to switch gears. We're going to leave behind that no pride thing for a while. Text in if you want to, though. We'll catch up on your text. I do have to point out, though, very quickly, on the text lines, a couple that I didn't get to here earlier on, JT from Lacey Springs wanted to make sure that we understand that cereal, you know, we're back on the cereal thing again, cereal does not expand the waist. It just shrinks the clothes. That's what's happening. And then Peg Leg Dave from Gurley, he says Apple Jacks left the best taste in milk. Yes, it did. I'm going to stop by that.
So good. You're going tonight to get some more cereal. That's what's going to happen.
Honey, we're having cereal tonight.
Cereal for dinner.
That's going to be awesome.
And a snack.
Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, though. By the way, top of the hour, we'll come back and we'll do Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. But for the next little bit here, let's talk about the Green New Steel. So it's amazing the push right now to get away from everything in the world that's made America great, right? It's amazing the push that we're in to alter our entire lives to meet an agenda. Now, I understand if you're saying, you know what we see here is a better way. We need to phase y'all in. They're not phasing in. They're demanding, pushing, cajoling, and threatening you will get in. You will be on board with this. You will recognize that your needs and your personal desires and your likes and your wants and, you know, your ability to travel and whatever else, that is not our concern. Our concern is whether or not our agenda has been met. We're saving the planet. No, that's not what you're doing. You're not doing that at all. What you're doing is you're making a whole lot of money for people who cannot sustain things in the free market on their own without government intervention. And then you're also exerting control. In fact, I'll just go ahead and say, Charlene, the lovely Charlene, she says quite often, we'll be talking, what are you doing on your show today? Oh, the Green New Steel. That is about control. That's what that's about. She'll say that to me. I probably said it this morning. Here's one for you, just to remind you. We talked about this on the show. Here's an idea of control. Can you imagine this? Boomer, did your AC go out not long ago?
It did.
Yeah, you got it fixed.
We did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was terrible. I hate dealing with that.
Well, can you imagine if you were locked out of your AC?
Oh.
Like, I'm talking like you were not allowed, you were locked out.
That would be horrible.
You own your house, right?
Right. You expect what you have in your house to work.
Yeah, and you have a right to what the law calls the use and enjoyment of your property.
Correct.
Did you know, though, that some people, when they sign their contracts for utilities, they give their rights away to the utilities? Now, I get it if you're not paying your bill.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. If someone else is, you know, paying it for you.
I don't know if you remember the story or not. I'm holding in my hot little hands. Denver Post. I pulled this off Denver Post. September 1st of last year. Yeah. Thousands. You remember this? They had a heat wave?
Yeah.
Thousands of metro areas, Denver, metro area Xcel Energy customers. That's their big service provider out there. The Xcel Energy is their power provider. Thousands of metro area Xcel Energy customers were unable to control their home thermostats earlier this week when temperatures climbed into the 90s. They were voluntary participants in the company's AC Rewards program, which allowed Xcel to control their smart home thermostats during hot summer days when demand for electricity and air can... Screw that. So, okay, first of all, read the fine print, but I want to know, so apparently what happened was these folks said they were given an option. Hey, we'll credit your bill $100 if you'll sign up to use one of our smart thermostats that will help regulate your temperatures a little better and also, you know, the ability to help us control peak hour usage. And you know, how many sheep out there went, $100? That'll be cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they control it and you can't get AC.
They got locked.
Wow.
22,000 people got locked out of their thermostats. When the grid was getting, you know, kind of strained, the Xcel just went ahead and said, we're declaring an emergency. Dink. Nobody can get into their thermostat. It was locked and you just got hot.
You just got hot.
You just got hot. I wonder, by the way, what happens if you just knock that sucker off the wall and replaced it? Like, just took a hammer, knocked it loose, and...
I mean, I've replaced my own,
I have too.
So you can do that.
Yeah.
Just, so I'd be like, nope. Yeah. Let's turn this sucker on.
Override. Yeah, but that's the thing. And by the way, this is a classic example of what Charlene says, control. This is about control. You know what? The grid's getting a little strained. A lot of you appear to be using your air conditioner. You have just been locked. How much of a suck fest would that be? You come home at the end of a hot day.
What does it say on the screen? I'm sorry, you're locked out.
I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, does it say something to them? Or this
provider locked your service. Yeah. I don't know.
Dial this number. We'll have a recording to explain to you in three separate languages why you don't qualify for personal control of your thermostat. But they signed it away. That's what they're using. This was voluntary. You signed it for the program. You received consideration. The law calls it consideration. We gave you $100 credit on your bill. Yeah, but you didn't tell me you're going to lock me out of my thermostat.
Exactly.
Bunch of piss hands. Come on. Okay. Anyway, there's that. Now, let's go into the Green New Steel a little further. So, by the way, I don't have any heartburn. If you want to own, I saw a Tesla in the parking lot the other night. We went out to eat, and I admire it. It's a good looking vehicle. I don't want one, but it's a good looking vehicle. I know a guy who's got a Rivian. They're cool looking, man. But I don't want one. But the interesting thing is it may not matter because you're being pushed towards them. You're being pushed towards getting an electric vehicle. Remember, Biden's all about the carbon neutrality. We're going to be net zero by the year 2035, or is it 2030? So just so you know, Green New Steel, we're finding out a lot of things about electric vehicles that make them a little less attractive. Piece here from Hot Air, hotair.com. In the world of all things wonderful and green, it says, the biggest push has been to hasten the demise of the internal combustion engine, and the chirpiest assessments have been how EVs will save the planet. Ford just announced it's in a bit of a pickle going into the first round of its new four-year contract with the United Auto Workers, the union. Ford now plans to lay off at least 1,000 salaried employees and contract workers in North America. People familiar with the matter said it's the automaker's latest effort to help defray the costs of having to invest in electric cars. This latest reduction of Ford's white-collar workforce, it says, includes employees in the EV section and the software side of the business. Goes on to say that for traditional automakers, having to boost their profit margins on the internal combustion side because the profitability of EVs is expected to be pretty low for several years. Ford says it expects to lose $3 billion in operating profits. Another company, a smaller one, called Lordstown Motors that made sort of a boutique-style EV, they just went bankrupt. I don't know what their business practices were like if they didn't have a good market, but they certainly didn't have brand power like Ford does. Then you got Volkswagen. It says the sales worries are not confined to the U.S. manufacturers either. Not only is Volkswagen cutting back on its EV production at its main plant in Emden, Germany, because of lackluster sales, it's definitely delaying the planned start of another model that was scheduled for this July. Then you've got the fact that we're beginning to learn things about EVs in general. Not only are they less profitable, not only do they have the ability to create range anxiety, which means you're worried about how far you can go, not only do they require longer to recharge than it does to get gas in a regular traditional engine, but you've got this. According to the article, and it just says it this way, they weigh a buttload. Thanks to the level of batteries. It's in there right there. I'm looking at it. I'm not making that up. It says it right there. Which can be anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 pounds, which is a ton. It says the average is about a grand of extra weight on a vehicle because of the batteries. And it says a set of regular tires wears out 20% faster on an EV than it does on an internal combustion engine. So you're wearing out tires faster. And then it says you have to have specially formulated tires then to be able to handle the load and the torque. And then it says, and the British are now finding out too, that the extra weight of EVs creates all kinds of havoc with their road surfaces. Potholes are becoming much more of a thing in places where EVs are more prevalent on the road. The Green New Steel, man. I'm just telling you, it ain't always coming together the way they said it would. It's going to save the world. Yeah, we're going to have more tires in the dumps, I can tell you that. Last one before the break. Ford, piece on the Daily Wire dated a couple days ago. Ford gets a $9.2 billion, let me say it again, $9.2 billion loan from the Biden administration for EV battery factories. Really? Because, again, you can't get this done without government assistance. So Ford's going to receive the largest government check for an automaker since the 2009 bailouts, thanks to a $9.2 billion loan intended to help construct three electric vehicle battery plants. Where's the private sector? Hello? Where's the free market? Can anybody answer me? Is there a free market out there? Oh, wait, that's right. The free market looks at what it can sustain and what is profitable without subsidies from the government. Now, not in this case. Hey, there's $9.2 billion of taxpayer money. Go you therefore and build the factories that you weren't going to be able to build on your own. The loan from the Biden administration is aimed at boosting U.S. automakers in their race against China for green technology. Biden's bold goal of electrifying 67% of all commercial passenger vehicles sold in the U.S. by 2032. You know what? I hope I'm still driving my Jeep, just tooling down the road. I'm going to get some bigger tires on that bad boy for too long. I'm just telling you. Well, that's what's happening right now. I got a call. Do I have time for a call? I got about a minute. Let's do that. I got a call on line one. Wolverine Dan. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Oh, man, EVs got some problems. Listen, you said they weigh more. And fashionably, the women are not going to want to buy it because you know what that means? They're going to say, wait a minute. Does my my EV weighs more, and I must have a big backside.
That's...
Can you see it? The sales thing is saying, buy your big backside. You're guaranteed to not get it injured in the accident because you got a big back end.
I don't think I can even unhear this now. I don't know that I can.
Well, that's what an EV is, boy. I'm telling you. See, these people are so, and you know, when the batteries go bad, where do they go?
Oh, yeah.
You got to have a special facility to house them.
That's right.
You know what? It's paper tiger. It's all paper tiger what's going on, man. I'm telling you, dude, it's nothing but a big Truman Show. If you ever seen the movie,
That's
exactly what's happening.
You're so right, brother. I mean, it's the green new steel. And I don't, you know, if someone wants a green, EV, fine. But the fact that they're going to try and make us get them is another story altogether.
Well, my friend, you know, it's thank God for people like us that still have a lot of horse sense. And we realize we're doing the best we can with what we have. And we're still willing to look outside the box. If there's a better alternative, fine. But obviously right now, that EV is nothing but a big behind vehicle.
All right, brother. I got to go to a break. Take care, Wolverine Dan. We appreciate you, man. All right, Boomer. Run it to the break, man. We'll come back. We'll talk a little more on the Green New Steel. And then, yep, top of the hour, we switch gears to the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making common sense a superpower. Hey, I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, the Green New Steel. Lots of things to say and do. By the way, let me go back. For all of y'all haters out there, because I know I got a few that listen, for all of y'all haters out there that think, oh, Phil's just, he's not environmentally friendly. He doesn't like, listen, I'm for being a good steward. I am. And I don't mind an all-of-the-above policy. How about this? Drill for all the oil you can get, and then at the same time, put up some windmills in appropriate places and a solar panel or three, and you know what? Let's do all of the above. The idea that we're going to run our grid And all of our mechanics around electricity only is ridiculous. There's no way in the world that's going to be feasible with the level of productivity this nation has. The only option then is to become far less productive. How about this? Major, if you've seen the controversy, there's a lot of controversial talk out there about what's happening with setting up wind farms off the eastern coast. Whales are washing up dead in record levels. Never seen anything like it before. And the real belief is they're being damaged by these wind farms that are being set up. Well, it goes further. Story here on Fox News came out today. The Biden administration is now under fire for offshore wind impacts on military operations. It says the Biden administration is facing pressure from lawmakers and experts who are calling for an immediate moratorium on offshore wind development until its effects, including on military operations, navigation, and radar systems, are studied. So Representative Chris Smith, he's a congressman from New Jersey, Republican, met with industry stakeholders and experts from the Government Accountability Office and basically laid this thing out. He said the GAO has agreed to investigate the wide-ranging effects of offshore wind. The investigation is going to look into wind turbine impacts on military operations and radar. Why? Because it impacts marine radar, he says, through sonic interference. It causes disruptions. It causes shadowing. There's going to be nothing but disruption, he said. Radar will not be credible. So you'll have ships of every size and variety, military ships, ocean, cargo ships, all of them, including carrying oil, those carrying oil into our states that potentially could run into other ships because they cannot see them clearly on the radar because of the interference created by the windmills. Says the Coast Guard is going to be inhibited from its ability to do search and rescue, particularly in bad weather, because of the effects of this interference. It says our integrated undersea surveillance systems will also be interfered with. Why does he say this? Because a 2022 study from the National Academy of Sciences concluded that wind farm development creates interference with marine vessel radar, which is a critical instrument for navigation and collision avoidance and search and rescue. One lady that was quoted in the article, she runs a fishery in Rhode Island. She says they're willing to sacrifice anything for green energy. She said, I've seen national security overridden. I've seen maritime safety overridden. I've seen domestic food production overridden. I've seen concerns of coastal businesses and communities overridden. Every single entity, every single concern, she says, valid concerns, not made up, not hyperbole, are just overridden. And the answer is what? Well, we have to do it because of climate change. What are they going to say when more whales wind up dead? And what are they going to say, by the way, when an oil tanker runs into somebody and has a major spill off the eastern shore because of wind farm interference disrupting the ability to see clearly on radar? They don't stop sailing at night and weigh anchor. They don't. They drop anchor. They're sailing through the night. They see in the dark with radar. And what we're learning now is these offshore wind farms not only having an impact on the sea life, they're having an impact on the ability to preserve life. Lastly, I'll tell you this. Just remember, they don't really care about the effectiveness of our military as long as we are reaching net zero emissions. If you recall, it was just in April of this year. The Secretary Jennifer Granholm, the Secretary of Energy for the Department of Energy, said in a congressional hearing that she believes that an all-electric military vehicle fleet is going to be a real thing by 2030. And she got all kinds of crap for that one, deservedly so. She's a cabinet-level position, and she thinks that in the next 7 years, we're going to be able to convert our military to electric. It's going to be awesome. Never mind the fact that you have one EMP on the battlefield and you're toast. All right, listen, that's enough of that. That's the Green New Steel. We're going to go right now to a break and come back with the Grand Council with Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, and little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.